Hi, everybody. Justin McElroy here. I have quite the interesting curio for you. Literally days before coronavirus swept through our nation and much of the globe, we recorded an episode of Sawbones on the Jonathan Colton cruise. And it was a wonderful time, but it's honestly been a little bit hard to listen to because of how precipitously things collapsed after we recorded this. We're hopeful that now, with a little bit of distance from it, it can we can see it as the tragic irony of the whole thing is maybe a little less stinging if we're not as treating the coronavirus scenario with as much gravity as it seems like we should. Forgive us, we knew not what we did. But hopefully you'll still get a kick out of this very strange episode of Sawbones and the naivete displayed within. Enjoy, and we'll see you next week.
Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Project.
Hello. There we go. Hello.
Theater voice.
Welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy. Thank you.
You know, it's funny. The sea air plays such tricks with the sound. I could have sworn Sydney's applause was louder. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the cruise.
Thank you for coming back. I thought you would only watch me if I was talking about Tyra Banks' book, Model Land, now. So I'm relieved.
So if you've been paying attention to the world at large for the past month or so, you've probably already guessed what we're going to be talking about this evening here on our medical history program. And so let's just bring it down a little bit, calm down, and let's have a frank an open discussion about the music of Jimmy Buffett.
So the last couple years on the cruise, we've done some stuff that was pretty gross.
Challenging.
And we thought, you know, the world is hard right now. Maybe we need to relax. And who's better at relaxing than Jimmy Buffett? No one. And there is a lot you can do with his body of work. When you look at Jimmy Buffett's music, there's a lot of a medical, you know, applications, a lot of history, a lot of things we can read into it if you want to make a podcast about that. And so we're going to take an in-depth medical look at some of the works. There are so many. Some of the works of Jimmy Buffett. Launched right in there.
Just went right in. What's this one said?
What song is this?
Yes.
This is Margaritaville.
Okay.
I feel like this is the next best thing to... We're not going to get to go to the big Margaritaville on Grand Turk now, so...
We're bringing Jimmy to you.
You're there.
Trust us, we're heartbroken too. I was certain that James would be waiting for me at the door with a lay or something like that, waiting to greet me. So this, I'm assuming you've all have heard the song Margaritaville in the past. This is Margaritaville.
Yes, I would say probably the most well-known Jimmy Buffett song. So there's so much to get into here. First of all, I'm concerned if, and I'm going to take this view on all these songs, as if the person who's singing them is like our narrator, our perhaps our protagonist. I don't know, if you will. But the narrator of this song, I'm really concerned about some unhealthy habits. First of all, he's hanging out on his front porch nibbling on sponge cake. That's a weird, like, treat, right? Like, to just have a sponge cake and you're, like, sitting on a porch swing eating cake, just, like, chilling. I think that that speaks to maybe we have developed some generally unhealthy dietary habits.
Yes,
right?
Fair. Completely fair.
That's fair to say. He is going to eat some shrimp later, I guess. We could debate the nutritional merits of that, but one way or another, cake comes first. And that's fine on a cruise, of course. Now, when we discuss losing his shaker of salt, I actually think this is a big bonus for the singer. For, you know, if we assume it's Jimmy Buffett, that's great.
Yeah.
Because then he can't use it, and that's great for his blood pressure. So perhaps it should stay gone.
I don't feel like this person has a problem with their blood pressure, generally speaking.
Now, Justin, just because it does not appear that this singer has a high-stress lifestyle does not mean that they are immune to hypertension.
Okay.
Genetics do play a role.
Oh, God. You're ruining all the songs, aren't you? Do you have anything else to ruin about this American classic?
Yes, I do. We learn that later in the song that he has a new tattoo that is a real beauty, but how it got there, he hasn't a clue. Now, I'm concerned. First of all, why don't you remember where or how or when or who gave you the tattoo?
That's problematic.
And since you don't remember, do you know if it was done using, you know, appropriate sterile technique? You have no idea. So already I'm concerned about bloodborne infections. I'm concerned about infection in general. Were you given proper tattoo care guidelines after the procedure? You clearly don't remember it, so you don't remember what to do.
Yeah, you're not putting tattoo goo on there. You don't moisturize. You don't know what to do with the thing.
So there's a lot of concerns with the tattoo. And if that wasn't enough, we now find out that he blew out his flip-flop and stepped on a pop-top. So now tetanus is an issue that Jimmy Buffett needs to be worried about. When was his last tetanus shot? It's not in Margaritaville, I don't know. Is he up to date? And then we gotta think about, how deep was this wound? What kind of pop-top are we talking about? Like, was this a deeper puncture wound? And we have to worry about, like, gas-forming organisms. Is gangrene going to develop, you know? Sorry, that was the only gross part. That was from Melissa, who specifically asked for a gross part.
So gangrene, maybe, for James.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know.
Okay, I'm moving on. There's no way you can ruin this one.
So you're playing Cheeseburger in Paradise as an example of a song that there's no way I could have anything to say about.
It's just fun.
Okay. I see some issues already.
Yeah, let him get to the good part. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Come on, everybody. Cheeseburger in Paradise. Okay.
All right.
James Buffett's Cheeseburger in Paradise. What on earth could be wrong with this song, Sydney?
Well, there's some hopeful notes in the beginning because we find out that our hero is trying to amend his carnivorous habits. So perhaps he's pursuing a plant-based lifestyle. That's a great thing, right? Like, we know that's a really heart healthy, like, for longevity. This is a great turn he's taken away from red meat, perhaps meat in general. We don't know, we think. And he's been losing weight and eating sunflower seeds and drinking carrot juice. Now, if that is all he's eating and drinking, that this is obviously a concern. But in addition, you can turn orange if you drink enough carrot juice consistently. So there is that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a concern. The man's a one-person industry. I don't think we want him turning orange, certainly.
And aside from his diet, he also notes that he's soaking up rays. Just from a skin health perspective, I have to frown on that immediately.
Not great.
I mean, I really applaud your turn towards veganism, but if you could wear some sunscreen, that would be better.
Anything else?
Of course, Justin. He's celebrating hamburgers. Cheeseburgers, excuse me.
Specifically, yeah.
Specifically cheeseburgers. So, first of all, he's dreaming about eating a cheeseburger. Now, just the fact that he's dreaming about it makes me concerned for perhaps an iron deficiency. I know that this was something that I suffered from through pregnancy, and I would often dream about hamburgers. And so I have to be concerned about, you know, is your body telling you something? Maybe you don't need a cheeseburger. Maybe we need an iron supplement, Jimmy.
So iron supplement in paradise maybe might be a better tune, you think, Sidster?
In addition, if we are going to indulge in the cheeseburger, we have to be concerned about colon health. All that red meat, how often are we going to eat these cheeseburgers, Jimmy?
Well, it sounds like quite a few, Sidster. He's been playing this song for 40 years. We got to him too late, I'm afraid.
I mean, it's great that he wants to throw some vegetables in the mix on top of the burger, but then he's going to pair it with some French fries and beer, so...
Not great.
Which is delicious. I'm not saying it's not. And plant-based, yeah.
Yes, the lettuce and tomato and French fries are plant-based. That's true. You ready to move on?
Yeah.
Now, this is probably this one's less well-known, I would say.
Mm-hmm. We're going to really know who the parrot heads are.
Yeah.
There's a... All right,
just us
all right.
And that
There's
person.
One. There's another in the back. We got two. Introduce this song.
The song's called Grapefruit Juicy Fruit, and it's about it's just about enjoying
it's
yourself.
It's about fun.
Grapefruit, a bathing suit.
All right.
Okay.
That's all you need. You get the idea. He's talking about grapefruit. That's the joke. So grapefruit is, first of all, on the surface, this is good, right? Grapefruit is good for you. It's got vitamins A and C and E. It's got some calcium. It's got some phosphorus. It's pretty decent on the glycemic index, if you're worried about that, which we are.
But I am now. Thank you, Sydney.
Well, I mean, all fruit has sugar, and so if you're looking for, like, natural sugars that are a little better for you, like, grapefruit has a lot to offer, and so I personally think it tastes awful. I'm sorry to everyone in the 80s who ate it all the time, and my mom who eats it every day, but I don't like it, but I can see where he's coming from with the grapefruit. My main concern is that... grapefruit is known to interfere with a number of medications. So, once again, when you approach Jimmy Buffett music from a medical perspective, you realize pretty quickly that there's a lack of medical history. I don't know, like...
Yeah, it's weird. It's like none of his songs give a complete medical history. Do you have a family history of colon cancer? It's never addressed.
I mean, it isn't, though. Like, you're joking, but I'm serious.
Okay.
So, grapefruit is going to decrease the activity of a certain enzyme. Do you want to know the name, Justin?
Oh, I know, but why don't you tell everybody else?
Cytochrome P450, specifically 3A4, is the enzyme it's going to interfere
with. I was going to say you should specifically...
Big fans of cytochrome P450 in the house.
Yeah. Some of you are liars, but that's fine. You're dressed extremely well, so we're going to let it slide.
If there was an audience where there would be big fans of cytochrome P450,
this is the audience.
Justin.
Yeah.
We found our people.
That is fair.
So, as a result, that enzyme's ability to break down other medicines that you are taking to eliminate them at the appropriate rate is going to be interfered with. And so I have a lot of concerns, you know, grapefruit, it's healthy, good, I'm going to start eating a lot of it. But without knowing, like, is he taking Lipitor? Is he taking Xanax? Is he taking Viagra?
That last one, like, we all feel pretty confident about, right?
It could interfere with the activity of any of these medications, and we don't know.
So there's a lot of stuff that medical TV shows can get wrong, but I know one of the most disappointing things for me when I started practicing is how uncomfortable conventional scrubs can be. They don't necessarily fit all body shapes really well, and they're scratchy, and that's until I found Figs. So our shifts in the hospital can be really long or in the office, and you need scrubs that feel good, that fit you well, and they're going to last all day long. Figs make scrubs for the medical professionals of today. They're not like a paper bag. They're not itchy. They feel great. They're so soft and comfortable. They're form-fitting. They're made for the kind of work that we actually do, where we're up and down, we're on our feet. Sometimes I'm sitting on the exam room floor checking out somebody's toenails, and I need to be comfortable while I'm doing it. They're antimicrobial, so you know that you're going to be protected. You can wash them every time you wear them, which is super important. I wash my scrubs, obviously, every day that I wear them. And they look good, so you can look like those cute TV docs and nurses that that made us go into medicine in the first place. You can check out tops like the Katarina and the Cade pants. It's an easy, relaxed fit, and then so many cargo pockets, which I can tell you that's the main thing we need, are pockets for our pens, pockets for our notebooks, pockets for my Narcan, pockets for everything. I love Figs. They are so comfortable. And with the work that I do, kind of unconventional out in the street medicine, I need something that feels good all day long. With back to school season upon us, it's the perfect time to stock up with some fresh outfits for the year. And Figs just dropped a brand new collection of limited edition styles and accessories. If you're in healthcare or if you're shopping for someone who is, you can get 15% off your first order at wearfigs.com with the code FIGSRX. That's wearfigs.com, code FIGSRX, FIGSRX.
I have really enjoyed experimenting with fashion, thanks to Quince. Now, I know that that sounds wild coming from me, Justin McElroy, a podcaster. Why, Justin, are you even wearing clothes? I hear you. But when I want to try a new look, what I love about Quince is they have a lot of different clothing items that are at a great price and are really well made. So if you want to try something, you're not sure if it's like, is this going to be the right fit for me? I don't know. Try it out with Quince. There's craftsmanship that you see in every detail of these clothes. I've bought several, like a pair of shorts I love, a pair of pants I wear literally every day. I mean, nearly every day, not literally every day. You know what I mean? Because there's some days you're just like, you can't. But I've been so happy with the pieces that we have gotten from Quince. And also there's a really wide variety of stuff. You know, there's silk tops, skirts for dressing up, denim for everyday wear. I don't mention a lot of the specific items because honestly, you shouldn't trust me about that part of it if it's outside my specific range of clothes for my body. But I will say this, for my body, Quince does right. It sounds weird now that I say it like that. Find gifts so good you'll want to keep them with Quince. Go to quince.com/sawbones for free shipping on your order. 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/sawbones to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sawbones.
Schmanners. Noun. Definition. Rules of etiquette designed not to judge others, but rather to guide ourselves through everyday social situations.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
Every week on Schmanners, we take a look at a topic that has to do with society or manners. We talk about the history of it. We take a look at how it applies to everyday life. And we take some of your questions. And sometimes we do a biography about a really cool person that had an impact on how we view etiquette. So join us every Friday and listen to Schmanners on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Would you like me to ruin another song?
This is called Knees of My Heart.
I've got a question for you.
All right, that's good.
Everybody's enjoying it, though.
Oh, okay. Wow. I'm going to kill your buzz. Go for it.
Don't want to see it on the silver screen. Don't let the craziness tear us apart. I'm down on the knees of my heart.
Okay, you get the idea.
You get the idea, and it's just ridiculous from an anatomical standpoint, and I just wanted to say that. It just bothers me. That's it.
All that for that?
It's also a good song that I enjoy. This may be my sneaky way of introducing you all to Jimmy Buffett music that's less
known. Yeah, you're going out to the Boneyard. This is called A Frenchman for the Night.
That's right. Romance.
From his driftwood castle.
He even speaks French in the song.
Comes a song I've heard before. A scratchy gramophone cuts to the bone. La Vion Rose, arpeggios.
All right. He spoke French. That's all. I just wanted to prove that. All right, so obviously you can't just be a Frenchman for the night, but that's not really a medical issue. What I was thinking about as I was pondering the concept of becoming French for one night was, are we referencing a little known ailment, a rare disorder that is called Jumping Frenchman of Maine? This is actually the name, I have Jumping Frenchman of Maine. You have Jumping Frenchman of Maine.
I do?
No, but that is how you would use it in a sentence. I was just demonstrating. That is the full name of the condition. It was discovered by George Beard in 1787. You might have already guessed the population amongst which it was discovered. They were French men. It was this strange... So it was actually French-Canadian lumberjacks. There were a group of them, all in the Moosehead Lake region of Maine, and they had this very strange startle response where even the slightest sound or movement, something that wouldn't necessarily startle the rest of us, would result in them jumping or screaming or sometimes punching or kicking someone near them. And so he described what he called the Jumping Frenchman of Maine disorder. And he wrote extensively about it was this very isolated disorder. It was only known among these Canadian lumberjacks who experienced it. And they were also noted to be specifically ticklish and shy, which he wrote about a lot because he thought maybe that had something to do with it. If you're very shy and ticklish, you may be prone to Jumping Frenchman of Maine.
Good to know.
You are ticklish.
Yeah. Any shy, ticklish people out there, you should go get checked when you get home. You may have this extremely rare condition.
Over time, this has been looked into a lot, I think because it's so unique and interesting. And people have begun to wonder if it's more of like what we think of like a culture-bound syndrome. It's actually what we would consider like a cultural response to things. You begin to accept that a normal response within your kind of isolated region of the world to some sort of thing happening would be to pass out or to start laughing a whole lot or to jump or kick. And you see it perpetuated in these like isolated kind of little microcultural areas. And that is probably what this is. It's actually been found in other parts of the world, and there's different names depending on where you see it. And my favorite that I found is that there's a similar response that they found among isolated populations in Louisiana, and they called it Raging Cajun. So if you live in Maine, you might have Jumping Frenchman of Maine, but if you live in Louisiana, you may have Raging Cajun. It just depends.
And this ties into James Howe?
Jimmy Buffett sang a song with Frenchmen in the name, so...
Okay, I'm moving on.
I just really wanted to talk about Jumping Frenchman of Maine.
You're stretching to ruin that one. This song is called A Pirate Looks at 40.
My dad's favorite song. There's some trivia for you all.
If that comes up, it's some of the geek trivia later. Sydney's.
What is Tommy Smurl's favorite Jimmy Buffett song?
Mother, mother, ocean. I've heard.
Just makes you need
call.
To get out there, doesn't it?
We are literally out there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We are currently out there. Could not be born out there.
tall. You've seen it all. You've seen it all.
All right.
All right, so this pirate is looking at 40.
I can already tell I don't like this. I'm 39 years old, and I don't like what you're about to do already with my heart and my mind. Do I have a pass? Is there one pass where I can hit a buzzer and say no whammies and we skip one? Is that a possibility?
Has there ever been on Sawbones?
Never.
So I can only assume that as this pirate looks forward at 40, he's thinking about his preventive health care and what kind of, you know, screening tests he might need and what he might need to talk with his primary care physician about his upcoming well check, right? That's what we all think about, right? That's normal. And so I just went ahead and looked up some recommendations for Jimmy Buffett. I'm going to assume that this is a male just because Jimmy Buffett's singing the song. And there's some questions if you're going to look at, like, the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommendations for health screening. There are a couple questions. So male.
For a pirate looking at 40.
For a pirate looking at 40. Tobacco user, I went ahead and plugged in yes.
Safe bet.
I feel like a lot of pirates probably smoke, right? Probably.
Safe bet.
Something. The other question is sexually active. Definitely plugged in yes for that.
That's
right?
A big yes-a-rooski for sure.
Right. Okay. So I apologize for the pirate assumptions. If you're a pirate and I got that wrong, I apologize. I shouldn't make sweeping generalizations. So. For this pirate who's looking at 40, we're going to definitely want to check a blood pressure and discuss, you know, regular monitoring of your blood pressure. There are also some screening tests. We need to screen for HIV, for syphilis. We definitely need to talk about tobacco cessation. I know that's hard. It's a pirate lifestyle. Probably all your buddies are smoking too, but it's not good for you.
It's worth the effort.
Scurvy is actually not in the Preventive Services Task Force. I know that seems weird. There's no screening test for scurvy, although certainly if my patient was a pirate, I would bring it up. That's where we got grade A evidence. Now, as we go ahead and include some of the grade B recommendations, because we like to do things that are evidence-based, and we may as well expand to the evidence that's not quite as strong as grade A, but still pretty good as grade B. So we're going to screen for depression, for diabetes. We're going to talk about unhealthy alcohol use. I have to assume this is an issue, or could be. He's a pirate, remember? And we're going to talk about some, like, healthy exercise, nutrition, definitely getting plenty of vitamin C because we are a pirate, safe sex, and maybe we need to start some sort of cholesterol-lowering medication for this pirate who's looking at 40.
Island fever. This is from Don't Stop the Carnival, right? Which was supposed to be a musical, and then
it
was just more of a concept album. It's gonna ruin it now.
I think I've got a touch of island fever.
I bet you know why I picked this one. It's got fever right there in the name.
I feel a bit sauteed. This morning.
I like this song because I feel like it's a diagnostic puzzle. This is how I approached it. So he has island fever. Now, we do not have a specific location other than island.
Island, yeah.
Mr. Buffett, that does not give me enough information. There are many islands. The only clue we get later in the song, there is the line, I think I'll take my shoes off and go walking down beside the Caribbean Sea. Okay. Now, in the Caribbean Sea, there are technically 7,000 islands. So that's not a great clue.
Not super helpful.
But it gives us a region of the world. And that definitely is helpful when we start talking about, like, what sort of tropical disease may have caused this island fever. Now, some common culprits. We actually have to think about malaria. Very common worldwide. Probably not the first thing I would consider for this person, but definitely
probably
on the
differential. Probably not, Sid. Probably not. Probably not malaria first thing. Yeah, I wouldn't think of malaria the first thing. For my pal James Buffett.
Justin, if a traveler comes back from a malarious region of the world and they have a fever, it should be the first thing you think of. I'm surprised you haven't learned this from me yet. I'm a little disappointed.
So, okay, we're in the Caribbean Sea.
All right, so malaria, certainly. Dengue, definitely on the differential. Typhoid, leptospirosis, of course. And then that doesn't even begin to touch on all the common illnesses like influenza that you have to consider because those happen everywhere, right? Like just because you're on an island doesn't mean you can't get the flu. And again, no history, we don't know. Did he get a flu shot? Like he should have. I don't know. So he later in the song, he says he thinks that it found its way to his brain. So I am going to interpret this line as a neurological complication of the disease.
Yeah.
Naturally. Uh-huh. So while malaria, dengue, leptospirosis, we could all have some possible neurological complications. Those aren't the first things I would think of because they usually manifest more as like drowsiness. And he talks about how he's fighting the urge to join a parade, which, why fight it, first of all? Join the parade. But if that's the kind of like delirium that has ensued, that would actually take me in a different direction. And so I am gonna guess that he has typhoid. Jimmy Buffett. From this song, Island Fever. Now the bad news is that Jimmy Buffett has typhoid. But that, obviously that's bad news. That also he didn't listen to any of my advice about vaccines because he could have been vaccinated against typhoid before he left. And he didn't do it. So that's a big tisk tisk. But on the good news is that there is treatment for typhoid, so you know, he can come to me. I will take care of him. I can provide him with either a fluoroquinolone, a third generation cephalosporin, and we can just get him fixed right up. So don't worry.
Great, good news.
We solved the diagnostic puzzle and saved the day.
Fantastic.
I love puzzles.
There's no way you can ruin this song. It's called Math Sucks.
Will you spell it?
S-U-K-S. Math Sucks.
That's how Jimmy Buffett spells it.
As in, how it's spelled in the song title.
If necessity is the mother of invention, then I'd like to kill the guy who invented this.
It's talking about math.
The numbers come together in some kind of third dimension. A regular
I bet nobody
algebra
here agrees with this.
No.
Let's start.
This is not the crowd for like informing them that math sucks.
And two plus two, well,
some people here probably even like math.
There's fractions and my subtraction, and x don't equal y. But my homework is bound to multiply.
I'm just waiting for him to say it.
Math sucks.
There it is.
Hey.
You are going to feel so bad when I tell you all that I am concerned that this poor singer has dyscalculia. This is a condition that affects about 3-6% of the population. It involves some sort of dysfunction in the intraparietal sulcus of the brain, and it makes math very difficult. So now don't you all feel bad.
They don't seem to be feeling bad, Sid.
It can resolve as we age. We see it, we diagnose it more in kids, and sometimes it goes away, but in some adults it persists. And I guess for poor Jimmy Buffett, math has continued to suck for him, and his experience of math, anyway, has been hard ever since. It's interesting because we're still not sure. It might have something to do with the, like, how we actually, like, make concrete numeric characters. And that patients who have it can actually still do conceptual math without, like, an actual number. I think that's fascinating. Really.
Jimmy Buffett wrote this song in his 60s. I very much enjoy someone who gets to 60 and they're like, you know what? I still don't like math. I didn't like it earlier. I don't like it now. I'm going to write a song about that because I still don't like it. And I've given it a big opportunity. It's had 6 decades. I don't like math. Here's a song about it.
Well, but I think it's fascinating to think that it's not that he doesn't like concrete math, or not that he doesn't like math, it's that conceptual math might work for him. We just haven't found the right way to teach Jimmy Buffett math. That challenge is out there, and we could teach him and make him love math. Probably not me. You don't seem convinced.
This is not a very good song.
This is not a song I'm discussing.
No, it's not, Sydney. But I needed to hear this song to take a break from your songs.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack.
This is Justin's favorite Jimmy Buffett song.
No, no, no. This probably take up Chalice, but it's up there. You know why, Sid?
When did that change?
I will play for gumbo.
Yes, I will play for gumbo.
This is called I Will Play for Gumbo.
This is a song called I Will Play for Gumbo. Ruin that one, Sydney.
You can have it. You can keep that song. That one. Do you want to introduce the title?
This is called Please Bypass This Heart. Writes itself, I guess.
I mean, he just does this for me, I feel. This is just for me.
Every day. I read about these operations.
I never thought I was a country music fan, but I do like Jimmy Buffett, so what does that mean?
Well, I don't necessarily think of his music as country. The genre has often been defined as golf and western, which I like. It's hovering in between a lot of different styles. He, of course, incorporates some country melodies, country structures. But he's also got a lot of the islands.
Golf. Do you mean G-U or G-O?
G-U-L.
Okay.
Okay, please bypass this heart.
I think this just sort of speaks for itself. The American healthcare system is so broken. Here we have this person begging a cardiothoracic surgeon to save their life and bypass their heart because they probably don't have insurance and can't pay for it. And I just think we all need to remember that until we have Medicare for all, Jimmy Buffett is gonna have to write these kinds of songs. So. But you'd think he could afford it, though.
He probably can afford it now. Fair. Take me away, James.
You like this one?
It's a good one, yeah.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
As the son of a sailor, I went.
Yeah, we got a few people who heard this one.
For adventure, expanding the view of the captain.
Yeah. Well, it's called
like
Son of a Son of a Sailor, and he like says it right there, which is convenient.
Thank you, James.
For this podcast. It's really important to have a firm grasp on your family history to understand your risk for different, you know, genetic disorders. And the more that you can understand about that, you know, the better informed your primary care physician can be and the better care they can take of you. Now, as we've already covered, scurvy is not a genetic disorder. So that's good. Nor are beriberi or pellagra or rickets, which are all caused by nutritional deficiencies and, you know, as the son of a sailor, they may have been at risk for. But the singer is not. However, we do worry about high blood pressure and cardiovascular disease among sailors today.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
And their sons?
Well, them too, because as we know, there is a genetic component to these disorders, and we see a slightly higher rate among sailors, and their lives are full of stress and often poor nutrition and lack of exercise because, you know, they're trapped on their sailboats or bigger boats. And possibly things like smoking, which we've already discussed, so.
Huge sailor problem.
Mm-hmm. So every time I hear that song, I think about genetic disorders. Do you not?
I rounded first, never thought of the worst, as I studied the shortstop's position. Crack with my leg like a shell of
we're really rocking. Not the music, but
a decent position.
You know the
this song is called Growing Older But Not Up.
So Benjamin Button disease.
There's no way Benjamin Button disease is real. Please don't pretend like Benjamin Button disease is real. You know how afraid I am of Benjamin Button disease. This is targeted.
I know it's hard, honey. We're going opposite directions, but we've met right now.
No, we're not.
Middle.
You tell me all the time Benjamin Button disease is not real. And now if you get up on the stage and pretend like it is, betrayal, Jacques.
If it's in a Jimmy Buffett song.
Don't you dare. I'm skipping this one. There's no way Benjamin Button disease is real, and I'm not going to let you tell these fine folks that it is. They believe in you and they trust you.
I'm just saying.
You're not. You're not saying it, Sydney. Take it back. Play on a person's fears like that here on the Joko Cruise. I'm going to report you. This is a mile high in Denver. This is very early. This is like from his first record.
Yeah. I think sometimes he likes smoking marijuana.
No. Now, you aren't saying that this is a song about smoking marijuana. Are you, Sydney?
Well, I mean, when you hear A Mile High in Denver, I mean, the first thing you think of is, of course, altitude sickness. So we've all been there, right? I mean, you've got, like... What kind of symptoms is he talking about? He's a mile high in Denver. I'm going to assume, since he's still singing, that we're probably dealing with, like, acute mountain sickness. So, like, he's dizzy, he's got some headaches, maybe some trouble sleeping. He could be vomiting. I don't know. He doesn't say that. Do you think he's vomiting? How much have you thought about whether or not Jimmy Buffett is vomiting when he sings these songs?
You know, Sidster, it never crossed my mind, actually, if you can believe that or not. Never crossed my mind.
He talks about admiring the scenery and things like that that you probably wouldn't feel like doing if you developed, like, a further stage of altitude sickness, like high-altitude pulmonary edema. So, I mean, with that much fluid in your lungs, you're not going to be admiring the scenery, right? So probably not that, or high-altitude cerebral edema, where you get swelling in your brain, which, I mean, maybe you admired the scenery before you fell asleep.
I'm not enjoying this as much as I thought I would, Sid.
Either way, he could have prevented this if he had just ascended more slowly. You don't have to get altitude sickness. So obviously he probably flew there, right? It was like a gig. He probably just flew
there.
He descended too quickly. And the best thing, because now he has less oxygen available at the higher altitude, that's why he's sick. So the best thing for Jimmy to do at this point, I would say, is to, you know, descend, go to a lower elevation.
4,000 some feet high in Denver doesn't really have the same ring to it, though.
I don't know if he has Diamox available, which is a medication you can take to help with altitude sickness. It doesn't always prevent it, but it can help.
Not a lot of great rhymes there with Diavox.
I just think it's cool. Diamox is cool.
I better check my watch because I believe it's about 5 o'clock somewhere in the jungle.
I have mixed feelings about this song. It's always nice when somebody that you love, like a musical artist you love, like really hits mainstream and everybody's listening to them all of a sudden, but then it's for this song, 5 o'clock somewhere. There's just so much better work.
There is better songs in the catalog, Sid, but every one of those iTunes purchases, a little slice goes to Jimmy, and you gotta celebrate that. Any few bucks that guy can cobble together, I gotta celebrate it. Oops, here it comes. So pour me something
tall and strong, make it a hurricane. I mean, I get it. It's catchy. It's only 12:30,
but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's a good tune.
So as you've probably already guessed from listening to this song, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and what it's obviously referencing, that our singer is suffering from dyschronometria. I know, it's really a shame. Which, obviously, we all know is the inability to distinguish the passage of time. And so for Jimmy, it's 5 o'clock anytime, anywhere. He just doesn't know. It's 5, it's 4, it was 2, now it's 10. He can't tell anymore. I know, that's a rough...
Yeah, you've painted a rough picture for sure, Sid. It almost saps some of the fun and whimsy out of the song.
I mean, especially when you consider
and commemorative plates and flip-flops and T-shirts and wind chimes and Christmas ornaments and all manner of things at wall clocks that say 5 o'clock somewhere on them.
Well, I mean, it's even sadder if you think about that it's usually the result of, like, some sort of trauma to the cerebellum. So, like, what kind of history does Jimmy have that he can no longer, you know, tell what time it is or how long it's passed? Or perhaps this was from a stroke or a seizure of some sort. I know we have to consider all this in the differential. We really aren't given enough information to make a firm diagnosis, so I'm just doing the best I can. In addition to the inability to mark the passage of hours and therefore, you know, tell time effectively, if you have this disorder, you're also going to have issues with spatial recognition and with short-term memory. And I really think that if you're familiar with more songs from Jimmy Buffett, this is all starting to come together. There are other songs called things like "Who's the Blonde Stranger?" "I Heard I Was in Town." "If the Phone Doesn't Ring, It's Me." "I Used to Have Money One Time." "Nobody from Nowhere." "She's Going Out of My Mind." That's rough. And "Where's the Party?"
Where is the party?
He can't find it. Everybody celebrates this song, and I just, it's hard for me to understand.
You just find it too awfully depressing. Thank you, folks, for enjoying with us the music.
You just playing some cheeseburger?
Yeah, just playing us out with some cheeseburger. I thought we'd get to the fast part, and I'll kind of share it together. We're so happy that we got to sit here and just kind of goof around and share the music of Jimmy Buffett with you. Thank you to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. Thanks to the Jonathan Golden Cruz staff for making the show come together and asking us on the boat and everything. So thank you very much. Thank you for coming. You're all the best. I love you. So as we say every week on the show, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.